Blog Talk Radio.
And hello there. I apologize for calling in late. I just was sort of moving off a little bit. So that's what happened, and that's how I was late. Partly why, you know, that's why I just have to wake myself up a little bit and get ready to, I have to wake myself up a little bit before starting the show. And so here I am now. I have an interesting show. It's called, I'm opening up the chat right now. The show is called A New Look at the Holocaust and its relevance today. Now I'm going to be talking about, now, what is this new look in the Holocaust? Because I've been talking about, I've been sort of focusing on getting a little bit more religious message on this show. This show has been largely political. On this show, talk about politics, left, right, this, that, been talking about, like, from a more political perspective, but this should also provide a spiritual perspective as well, for ultimately everything is up to God, and everything is up to God's will. Whether good succeeds, whether evil succeeds, ultimately everything is up to God's will. Now, just so you know, the chat is now open, so if you're listening live to me right now on your computer from the episode page, if you want to appear in a chat, we have to do one simple thing, reload the page. And once you reload the page, you're in the best chat room of the best show here on Blog Talk Radio. Now, the thing is, there are two quotes from Adolf Hitler that I'm going to be discussing. Hitler, the most evil man in the world. Hitler, the biggest example. Hitler is the ultimate example of evil. And the ultimate, most well-known, most obvious example of evil is Hitler and Nazism. Now, Hitler said two things. Hitler said, quote, conscience is a Jewish invention. It is a blemish like circumcision, end quote. And Hitler also said, quote, if one little Jewish boy survives without any Jewish education, with no synagogue and no Hebrew school, it, Judaism, is in his soul. Even if there had never been a synagogue or a Jewish school or an Old Testament, the Jewish spirit would still exist and exert its influence. It has been there from the beginning, and there is no Jew, not a single one, who does not personify it, end quote. Now, these are some interesting quotes by Adolf Hitler, the most evil man in the world and the greatest enemy of the Jewish people. Hitler, who murdered 6 million Jewish people in an attempt to exterminate the Jewish people. Now, let me discuss the meaning of this. The meaning of these quotes, because you see, as I explained in the description, Nazism and Torah represent the exact opposite. You see, they don't even belong in the same sentence, but nevertheless, I'm analyzing how they're the complete opposite, because that, as for the show and how it's relevant today, you see, Torah is sweet. Torah is a source of life. Torah is the source of life, excuse me. Torah is good and sweet and the source of life. Torah is the book, is the blueprint on how man can live a godly life. And one of the principles of Torah, one of the most important principles of Torah, is the basic principle found in Sefer Bereishit, the book of Genesis, the first book of the written Torah, as I was saying, one of the most important principles of the Torah is found in Sefer Breshit, the book of Genesis, the first book of the written Torah, of the Torah Shebechtav. And that principle, which is one of the most important principles of Torah, as I said, found in Sefer Breshit, in the first book of the written Torah, that states that human beings were created at Tzelem Elokim, in God's image. Human beings were created in God's image. And it's a very important principle. It's, you know, I mean, both Judaism and Christianity agree about that. And it's a very important principle. It's a very important Torah principle. And it ultimately is crucial to how man relates to each other, to how human beings relate to each other. Understanding that humans are not disposable. Human beings were created in the divine image. Therefore, you're supposed to respect another human being. And you're supposed to, and therefore, you have to understand that no matter how much support somebody needs, how weak somebody is, or how disabled somebody is, or no matter how inferior you think that person's quality of life is, regardless, that person was created in the divine image, and therefore, you're not allowed to treat people as if they're disposable. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to treat them, you're not allowed to just murder them as if they're just dogs in a dog pound or so. No. Human beings were all created in Betzalel Elohim, in the divine image. And that principle, that's what Sefer Breshit, the book of Genesis, the first book of the written Torah, of the Torah Shebechtav, says. So we see Torah specifically states that human beings are not disposable, that humans were created in the divine image. And even one of the seven laws of Noah forbids murder. One of the seven laws of Noah forbids, the seven laws of Noah, which were given to mankind, to non-Jews, one of the seven laws of Noah forbids murder. Now, you see, Nazism is the ultimate evil, because Nazism, on the other hand, does say that humans are disposable. I mean, you see, like, the Nazi ideology was a scientific racist ideology to the core. And Hitler believed that Jews were at the bottom and that Jews were to be exterminated and that Aryans were to be the master race and that Aryans were to dominate the world. And that's what Hitler wanted to achieve. That's the goal that Hitler had. And he thought he was carrying out nature's order and having Aryans on top. And he believed that, and Hitler believed that the weak and the disabled were disposable, and he had them killed. Anybody who the Nazi ideology saw as disposable, Hitler and the Nazis had killed. I mean, you see, Nazism is where you see the worst of eugenics, because I strongly believe that eugenics is a form of evil, and I think you see eugenics today in the abortion industry specifically. When you have, like, arguments like, oh, what if the fetus is disabled? What if the fetus is deformed? What if the fetus is has some abnormalities or whatever, like fetal abnormalities or whatever, you know? In other words, what if the fetus is disabled? Because you think that person's quality of life is inferior, you think it's okay to abort that person. It's a very patronizing attitude. And you see, like, you know, as I said with the pro-choice, pro-abortion movement, You see people speak of children as burdens. Oh, they shouldn't be burdened with a child, you know. This is the gender equality in the eyes of the far left, in the eyes of the secular far left. is basically where you see people treating each other as sex toys. And they think, and these people, and plenty of times you see people calling that women's liberation or gender equality. It's complete nonsense. Look, I believe sex should only be done within marriage, ideally within marriage. But ultimately, sex, I think, sex should be used for procreation, no doubt. But also, I believe also that sex is also like a commitment. It's like, I'm not saying sex is inherently evil, no. But I mean, sex is a part of the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. But so is eating and drinking, and eating and drinking are not inherently evil. I mean, humans need to eat and drink. But sex is also part of that animalistic desire as well. That being said, I think that sex should be done ideally within marriage, but also I strongly believe that sex should basically be like a symbol of the love between ideally a husband and a wife, like between a man and a woman who are ideally married. It should be a symbol of that. And not, oh, I think their body's pretty. I like their body, so I'm going to treat it like a sex toy, and when it's worn out, I'll dump them. You know, that's not liberation. That is not liberation. But we're expected to care to these people who live these lifestyles. And then comes the whole, when sometimes the woman gets pregnant, they don't want to worry about kids. I mean, that's why you see them wanting free birth control. And just so you know, I think birth control should be fully legal. I don't think birth control should be criminalized. I think people should have access to birth control. I mean, look, if people want to treat each other like sex toys, you know, which is something I vehemently disagree with to begin with, and they want birth control so then the woman is less likely to get pregnant, go to people willing to provide birth control. Go to Target and pay $9 per month for birth control. I mean, the problem is not birth control. That's not the problem. Let's be clear. The problem is people treating each other like sex toys. But that's the thing. You see, people who treat each other like sex toys, they want to have free birth control. And if you don't give them the free birth control, they're going to accuse you of imposing your moral and religious values on them. You know? But they're the ones imposing their immorality on other people. When they demand religious institutions to give them their free birth control, they're the ones imposing their lifestyle on other people, saying you got to cater to us. I mean, it's ironic. It's like we got to cater to them, but you say you disagree with their lifestyle. And, oh, you're imposing your moral and religious values on them. I mean, birth control, first of all, is not guaranteed to stop a woman from getting pregnant. But then comes the whole thing, oh, they shouldn't be burdened with a child. It's their right to treat each other like sex toys, and they shouldn't be burdened with a child. No. No, 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 no. Just because you think life poses, just because someone's life poses an inconvenience to you, does not mean you have a right to take away that person's life. Because all life, all human beings were created B'Tselem Elohim in God's image. And that's the important thing. And the fact that humans were created B'Tselem Elohim in God's image is one of the most important principles of Torah. It's one of the most important principles of Torah, and it was stated in Sefer Bereishit, the book of Genesis, the first book of the written Torah, the first book of, i.e., the Torah Shebechtav, which is the five books of Moses, and it's also the first book of what Christians call the Old Testament. Now, as I said, the Nazi ideology is the most extreme example of, but to conclude on my tangent before, as I was saying, but you see specifically with children are spoken of burdens, and specifically children with disabilities are spoken of like that. And it's basically, I think, evil in my view. Now, the whole thing is, as I was saying, Nazism is the ultimate example of this evil. Nazism is where you see the ultimate evil coming from eugenics, because Nazism promotes eugenics. It's all about only wanting desirable people to live. Because Hitler wanted to be God. Hitler and the Nazis wanted to be God. They wanted to be God. And Hitler thought he was carrying out nature's work. The ideology of Nazism places value on human beings, saying which humans are disposable and which humans can live. It's disgusting and despicable. But that's what Nazism did. I mean, that was the foundation of the Nazi ideology, placing value on people's lives, saying who can live and who can't live. And you see, it's interesting how you see people who were viewed as burdens were just murdered and killed, were just systematically murdered. And Jews were at the bottom, and they were murdered. Now, it's interesting that Hitler had, and the Nazis, had a specific hatred of the Jewish people. Why a specific hatred of the Jewish people? And you see, when Hitler, and when Hitler was denouncing the Jewish people, Hitler complained that that consciousness is a Jewish value. You know, and he was saying that even secular Jews, because of the Jewish soul, how there's not a single Jew who does not personify these godly values that Hitler hated. Because I believe strongly ever since, you know, I mean, it was referenced in the book of in Sefer Bereishit, the book of Genesis, the first book of the Torah, Shabbat Tov, the written Torah, the five books of Moses. Specifically, the Torah says, Sefer Bereishit says, that Hashem created darkness and created light. There was darkness, and then Hashem said, Vayehi Or, let there be light, and then there was light. No, actually, Hashem said Yehi Or and Vayehi Or, and there was light. Now, the thing of the matter is, I think when Sefer Bereishit talks about the creation of darkness and light, it's a reference to the eternal struggle between godliness and the forces against godliness, between good and evil, between light and darkness. You see, you shine a light, that's enough to dispel the darkness. Specifically on Hanukkah, I think, the light of the menorah represented the light of Mashiach. You can see, like the Talmud, there are two opinions. Beit Hillel, the house of Hillel, said Jew is supposed to light from the first night and to the eighth night and increase. And Beit Shammai, house of Shammai, said Jew is supposed to light all eight lights, all eight candles, and decrease. Now, Jewish law, halakha, follows the opinion of Beit Hillel until the time of the Mashiach, the Messiah, and then they follow the opinion of Beit Shammai. Now, the question is, why is that? But when you take a look at what the meaning of Hanukkah is, to celebrate the victory of the Jewish people over the Hellenist Greeks, Antiochus and the Greeks did not try to exterminate the Jewish people unlike Hitler and Haman, but the Greeks wanted to impose their religion, their culture on the Jews. And under Antiochus, any Jews doing any mitzvah, any commandment, was punishable by death. And then it was the Maccabees who fought for godliness and who fought for the ability of the Jews to bring the Shekhinah down to earth by doing mitzvot commandments. And so you see, ultimately, the light of the menorah during Hanukkah represents the light of Torah and mitzvot. and it's supposed to be lit, and supposed to be, and it's, and the Hanukkah menorah is supposed, I mean, it's supposed to be lit in, I'm trying to say, the Hanukkah menorah is supposed to be light, lit in, well, I don't think it's a word, but nevertheless, the Hanukkah menorah is supposed to be lighted in public for people to see. Why for people to see? Because the light of the menorah represents the light of Torah mitzvah. It represents the light of Mashiach. It represents the light of godliness. Now, when the Mashiach comes, that light will be all around. The light of godliness will be all around. That will be redundant to have it increase. So, therefore, the opinion of Beit Shammai is then what becomes Jewish law. But leaving that aside, as I said, you know, Hitler hated the Jewish people largely because the Jewish people are tasked with bringing godliness down to earth. And Hitler hated godliness. Hitler hated the Torah. And Hitler hated God, and he hated godliness. Now, why did Hitler hate godliness? Because the vision of the Nazi Party and the vision of the Torah are the exact opposite. As I said, Torah represents peace and light and goodness and godliness. The Torah represents God's light. Because the truth is, human beings were not created to be totally animalistic. We humans have our animalistic desires, but we're not totally created to be 100% like animals. Human beings were created with a moral code. We have a wonderful opportunity. We have a moral code. And God, and with the seven laws of Noah, specifically, that is the moral code that God expects humanity to live up to. Now, with the Jews have 613 mitzvot commandments. And the Jewish people are the ones who are tasked specifically with being a light unto the nations, and what the prophet Yeshayahu Isaiah said. The Jews are to be a light unto nations. Israel is to be a light unto nations, and it's to be a light unto nations, because the Jewish people are supposed to be in the forefront in bringing the Shekhinah down to earth and in showing the world what God wants. You see, when people do what God wants, both Jews and non-Jews, it brings the Shekhinah down to earth, because it ultimately creates light. Specifically, when a Jew does a mitzvah, it specifically creates light in darkness. And it's the same, and I mean, specifically that is so. There's only one light in the world. That light is Torah. And that light is doing what God wants. You see, unlike many religious belief systems, it's not enough to merely believe. You can believe whatever you want. You believe 2 + 2 = 4. What does that do for you? There's a creator. What does that do for you? When it comes to the question of believing in a creator is only the first step. Believing in God is only believing in Hashem, God, is only the first step. It's only the first step. It's the first step. It's like learning how to walk. It's the first step. But it's not enough. Believing in God is not enough. Then comes the question of, what does God want you to do? And what God wants is, God wants man to follow the seven laws of Noah. To respect God, respect his name, don't blaspheme God. Don't worship idols. Don't murder, don't steal. You know, basically to treat humans with respect and treat God with respect. and don't be cruel to animals. So, we see the Noahide Code, the seven laws of Noah, is the basic law, it's the basic laws that, it means the seven laws that God has set up for men. Now, with Jews, there are 613 mitzvot commandments, not just seven. Because the Jewish people, as I said, are to be a nation of kohanim, a nation of priests. And it's the Jewish people who are specifically tasked with bringing Kedusha to the earth, and Kedusha, holiness of the earth, and bringing godliness. And that's the whole thing. You see, there's light and there's darkness. And the forces of godlessness, the forces of darkness, want to conceal the light. And so they want to conceal God. I mean, they want to chase the Shekhinah away. They want to conceal the light of godliness. And that's why you have hostility towards Torah. And you see these ideologies that are antithetical to the Torah, like Nazism, which represented the ultimate evil. As I said, the basic foundation of Torah when it comes to man is human beings were created Betzalel Elokim, in God's image. And that is an important concept to understand for any moral philosophy to work. And that's the concept of Torah. And God wants humanity to understand that concept. But Nazism, as I said, Nazism hated Torah. Nazism hated morality. Because Nazism is all about people being disposable. It's a scientific racist ideology all about people being disposable. And that's ultimately why Hitler wanted to exterminate the Jews, because the Jews were the light. Because the Jews were and are that light of godliness, that light of Torah. And Hitler and the Nazis wanted to exterminate that light. And one of the ways they exterminate that light is by exterminating the Jewish people, who are supposed to promote that light. And that's basically like the fundamental concept to understand. When Hitler said that Hitler said that there's not a single Jew who does not personify the godliness. When Hitler said that there's not a single Jew who does not personify this godliness, and Hitler also said that consciousness is really a Jewish blemish, like circumcision. But the reason why Hitler and the Nazis viewed consciousness as a blemish is because they viewed morality as a blemish. Because any successful moral system affirms the sanctity of human life, and it affirms the basic belief system, the basic concept that human beings were created Betzalel Elokim, in God's image. Any moral belief system affirms that, understands that, and would affirm the sanctity of human life. Any moral belief system affirms the sanctity of human life. No good, decent moral belief system would ever say that humans are disposable. No. And it's really that simple. And that's exactly what Nazism said. As I said, Hitler and the Nazis believed they were carrying out nature's work. Hitler and the Nazis believed that Aryans were to be the master race on top of everybody else, and everybody was to be at the bottom, and Jews especially were to be exterminated. And people who the Nazis saw as burdens were to be exterminated. Specifically, people with disabilities were to be exterminated by the Nazis because the Nazis believed that people with disabilities were burdens to society and that they were disposable and therefore they should be murdered. I mean, that's what the Nazi ideology said. And that's exactly what Nazi Germany was all about. And that's what the Nazi philosophy was all about. Scientific racism, eugenics, people being disposable, all of which goes against the principles of Torah, which says that humanity, that the human being was created Betzalam Elohim in God's image. And that, I think, is the ultimate reason for the Holocaust, because you see, as I said, you look at the world, you look at the fact that there is an ultimate battle between godliness and the forces against godliness. It was referenced to back in Sefer Bereishit, the book of Genesis, the first book of the Torah, Shebech Tav, the written Torah, i.e. the five books of Moses, i.e. the Humash, was referenced there when the Torah talked about the creation of darkness and the creation of light. And the forces of godlessness, since time immemorial, always wanted to conceal God's presence. And one of the ways to conceal God's presence, basically, A, lead the Jewish people astray, or exterminate the Jewish people. Because the Jewish people, from the time Kol Yisrael, the Jewish people, received the Torah on Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, the Jewish people were tasked with being that light of godliness that they were supposed to promote. And that's where anti-Semitism comes, the forces of godlessness trying to conceal the godly light. And that's why, as I said, any successful moral system affirms the sanctity of human life and says that humans were created to Elam Elohim. I know I'm being redundant, but I don't care. And the Nazi ideology was totally opposed to all that, with this idea that anybody they didn't like, anybody they saw as a burden, was to be killed. That's what the Nazis believed. That's exactly what they did. I mean, that's what Hitler stood for, that's what the Nazis stood for, that's what Nazi Germany stood for, as I said. And one of the ways that the Nazis tried to conceal the light of God was trying to exterminate the Jewish people. They put the Jews at the bottom, and they tried to exterminate the Jewish people. And that was the way, and Hitler, who was the ultimate example of godlessness and of darkness, it were the Nazis who represented, like, the worst of godlessness and the worst of darkness. You know, that's what the forces of darkness attempted to do then. They attempted to exterminate that light by exterminating the people who are supposed to promote that light, the Jewish people. So Jews were cast at the bottom, and Jews were to be exterminated, and 6 million Jews were murdered in that attempt. I mean, when Hitler committed his genocide against the Jewish people, that was his attempt to conceal the godly light. For Hitler said that if one little Jewish boy survives with no Jewish education, no synagogue, no Hebrew school, Judaism is still in his soul. And the Jewish spirit would still exist and exert its influence. Even if one little Jewish boy survived, this is what Hitler said, the Jewish spirit and the Jewish soul would still exist and would still influence him, and it could still potentially influence the world. And the forces of godlessness wanted to exterminate that godly light. Hitler wanted to exterminate that godly light. Because Hitler hated the idea that humans were created by Tzolom Elohim in God's image. Hitler hated that idea. Because Hitler wanted to, because Hitler saw humans as disposable. Hitler wanted to murder anybody, anybody who he saw as disposable. Anybody who he thought posed a burden, or who he thought was bad for society, or whatever, or basically, or whoever was not an Aryan or so. You know, I mean, Hitler wanted to devalue their to devalue his or her life. Or to murder that person, you know? I mean, that's what the Nazi Party stood for. And so Hitler hated the idea of morality. Hitler hated any moral philosophy that promoted the sanctity of human life. And Hitler hated it. I mean, even if in darkness, and there was a little speck of light, there's a little candlelight within that darkness. That was still too much for Hitler. That was still too much for Hitler. Because that darkness, because when Hitler said, because even if there's no synagogue, no Jewish school, no Hebrew school, or, and no Old Testament, which is mostly the Tanakh, but well, I'm not going to go into that detail. And even if there's no Hebrew Bible and no Hebrew school, no synagogue, no, nothing for the Jew to be able to do mitzvah, that Jewish neshama, that neshama Yahudi, that Jewish soul is still within that Jew. And so, even if one little Jewish boy survived, that means there was a speck of godliness out there. And Hitler hated that. And Hitler hated that. In addition, as I said, to Hitler saying that conscience is a, that, you know, conscience is a Jewish invention. It's a blemish, like circumcision. You know, conscience is the function that God gave us to be able to determine what's right and wrong. Conscience was a gift God gave to humankind in order to help guide humans to make the right choices. And so you see, with morality, as I said, any moral system, as I explained before, I know I'm being redundant, but I don't care. Any moral system, as I already explained, saying that human affirming the sanctity of human life, saying that human that the human being is valuable, and that humans were created by Elohim in God's image, you know. Any moral system saying that, you know, as I said, was that antithetical to Nazism, which basically saw people, saw the weak and saw the disabled and saw many people as burdens, and the Nazi ideologies basically say if they're burdens, just kill them. Because they're burdens to society. That's what the Nazi ideology said, and that's exactly what Nazi Germany stood for. And that's exactly what Nazi Germany promoted. And that's exactly what Hitler and the Nazi Party stood for. Anybody who supposedly posed a burden, or anybody who needed more support, or people with disabilities, you know. Hitler and Nazis believed, Hitler and Nazis believed that the correct action, that the natural correct action, was to murder them because they posed a quote unquote burden. And that's why Hitler hated morality, and that's why Hitler hated conscience, and that's why Hitler. And that's why Hitler hated godliness and hated that light of godliness. And that's why Hitler hated the Jewish people, because the Jewish people were tasked to promote that very light that was antithetical to the belief system of Hitler and the Nazi Party. And that's, I think, the ultimate reason, when you think about it, for the Holocaust. And also, when you think about it, it was happening during the times, I mean, actually before Hitler took power in Germany, actually, the German Jews were actually among the most assimilated Jews, like right before Hitler took power. like the reform movement was most active in Germany. You know, like during the reform movement was founded in the late 19th century as a copycat movement. The reform movement rejected the observance of mitzvot, the observance of Torah. The reform movement rejected circumcision. They wanted to move the Shabbat services from Saturday to a Sunday to try to be like the non-Jews, like the Protestants. You know, completely a copycat movement, except they did not adopt the Christian religion, but they were a copycat movement in doing what the other people did. So it was basically squeezing the spirituality out to try to assimilate. As I said, you know, the Reform movement was anti-circumcision and Reform synagogues. They were serving non-kosher food. In fact, that's even how the conservative movement was founded, because one time the reform movement, they were as infamous Trey Franklin, where they had non-kosher food. Even some more traditional members of the reform movement got upset, and so that's how the conservative movement was founded. But the reform movement was founded in the late 19th century as the copycat movement. And they championed assimilation. They were against circumcision, and they were against observing mitzvot. They wanted to move into the modern age and leave behind all that backward Jewish observance, supposedly, which they associated with life in the shtetl, which were the ghettos. I mean, that's exactly what the reform movement, I mean, that's exactly how reform Jews thought then, and you see today. You see, non-Orthodox Jews believe this. They believe that, like many non-Orthodox Jews believe this. They believe that Jewish observance is like, you know, like that they're moving to the modern age, and therefore they have to give up relig the they have to give up the they have to give up mitzvot and observances that they see as backward. You see, today that's happening even. Like non-Orthodox Jews, many of them believe that. And one thing you'll hear them say is faith and reason. You know, they use reason to water down faith, not real reason, but pseudo reason. But to them, reason is, you see that many non-Orthodox Jews also are moral relativists as well. They believe it's your morals versus their morals, and if you say there's an absolute moral code, then oh, you're imposing your morality on them. I mean, that's what they believe. Many of them are postmodernists and moral relativists. And so, why bother doing what's right? If it's harder, why bother doing what's right? You can tell yourself that whatever is popular is right, and whatever is easier for you is right, and then just do that. Why bother looking for any guidance, any direction in life? Why bother? Why not do what is popular in society? Because moral relativism leads to, and that's why, and non-Orthodox Judaism caters to moral relativism and caters to whatever society sees as forward thinking. And what do you see? You see as a result the spirituality getting squeezed out. And you see, people tend to want to believe in something, and they want to fight for something, and they want to, and people tend to look for meaning. But you see that, like, moral relativism and stuff like that totally sucks that away. Because it's whatever your heart says, your morals versus their morals, and stuff like that. And so if your heart says it's okay to rape, it's okay to rape. If your heart says it's okay to kill, it's okay to kill. If your heart says it's okay to steal, it's okay to steal. It's like, you know, I mean, that's what it leads to. And then comes the whole, oh, you're imposing your morals or religious values on people. But you know what? We have laws for a reason. We have rules for a reason. Because a society cannot function without rules. And rules are also expectations. And like the note, like God has expectations of each human being. God has expectations for each human being, each non-Jew, to go by the seven laws of Noah. and for Jews to go by these 613 mitzvot commandments. I'm here to say the good news. The human being is not animalistic. We are above the animals. We have a moral code, and we have expectations that God expects of us. And it's about time that people look at the light and see the light, and one day the Mashiach, the Messiah, will come, and that light will be apparent to all, to everybody. Now, you see, since time immemorial, darkness has been, these forces of godlessness have tried to conceal the presence of the Shekhinah, God's presence. Since time immemorial, even, and much of it has manifested itself in anti-Semitism, because the Jews are the people who are supposed to promote that light, and they are forces of godlessness that manifest itself in different ideologies and wants to conceal that light, and they do it through attacking the Jewish people and undermining the Jewish connection to Israel, because they want to conceal that light, and so much of it is done, and that's the real cause, ultimately, of anti-Semitism, and that's ultimately why Hitler wanted to exterminate the Jewish people. Hitler wanted to exterminate the Jewish people because he wanted to exterminate that light of godliness, because as Hitler even stated, if one little Jewish boy survives with no Jewish education and nothing really, that light of godliness is already within his soul. And it's already a potential for the spread of godliness. Therefore, Hitler saw that as a threat, and that's why Hitler wanted to exterminate the Jewish people. Because he wanted to exterminate that light, and by exterminating that light, people would be seen as disposable, and people would be killed at will if they're seen as burdens. I mean, that's what the whole Nazi ideology was all about. That's what Hitler was about. And that's what the relevance is for today. You see, today this battle still continues on. You see, people are seen as disposable. You see, you saw the abortion on demand, stuff like that. People just being killed because they're seen as disposable, and because their quality of life is seen as inferior. This has to stop. Every human being was created B'Tselem Elohim, in God's image. And it's about time that society respects the sanctity of human life. I'm not going to go into archive, but, you know, I mean, that's the battle here. Once we respect the sanctity of human life, and we promote God's values, then that light will win, and that goodness will win, and the Mashiach will come, and darkness will be defeated, and there will be nothing but light. All I have to say, and with that, we're out.